And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're going to tackle a topic that's probably going to hurt your head. Yeah, I'm going to talk about something that's going to make the gray stuff between your ears feel not so nice. That's right, because I'm going to cause you to think today. I'm going to cause you to think through what you think is correct and compare it to what I know is correct. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some fun with this because we're going to talk about return on investment. That's right, return on investment. And you're going, oh, Al, can't we talk about like pretty houses or can't we talk about 600-unit apartment communities that make great returns on investment? Why, certainly we can. And that's talking about return on investment because it doesn't matter if the house is pretty. It doesn't matter if it's a 600-unit apartment community. Heck, it doesn't matter if it's a 10-unit apartment community. Or it doesn't matter if the house is kind of not on the pretty side. What you need to focus on as a real estate investor is your rate of return. Or business school calls it a return on investment. That's the business school vernacular. I use different versions of it, but it all means the same thing. It means how much money are you going to make? Yeah, don't you want to know how much money you're going to make if you invest into an asset? You should, because that's why you're investing in the asset to begin with, so that you can earn money. Let's get into what a return on investment is defined as. Because once you know the definition, the rest of it, well, it's easy. It's really easy. So Investopedia defines a return on investment, they call it ROI, as the performance measure used to evaluate the efficiency or profitability of an investment or compare the efficiency of a number of different investments. Yeah, they're spot on. That's exactly what ROI does for you. Now, Forbes, they have a slightly different definition of return on investment. So I'm going to hit you with it and let's see if it's really different than what Investopedia said. They said return on investment is a metric used to understand the profitability of an investment. Well, that's kind of what Investopedia said, except they said it in less words. But they didn't do the comparison thing. They didn't talk about the comparison thing. You can use ROI to compare investments. Kind of an important part to remember. All right, let's go do something called corporatefinanceinstitute.com. Yeah, I know. I said all that. Corporatefinanceinstitute.com. You know me. I like to cite my sources. And even though I'm only taking a definition from these guys, I want to make sure I'm giving them credit. They said return on investment, one of the most used profitability ratios, is a simple formula that measures the gain or loss from an investment relative to the cost of the investment. ROI is expressed as a percentage and is commonly used in making financial decisions, comparing companies' profitability, and comparing the efficiency of different investments. Okay, corporatefinanceinstitute.com, they win the definition war. Yeah, they win the definition war. They gave us the most comprehensive definition of what return on investment is. And here's your takeaway. How much money are you going to make? Really, I'm serious. How much money are you going to make? Because if you don't know how much money you're going to make, you don't know how much money you're going to make. You have no clue. So why am I bringing this up? Why am I getting into a discussion on return on investment? Because I want you to compare apples to apples. One of these entities that is a non-Lifestyles Unlimited member keeps sending me information about investing in something called ATMs. Yeah, they're exactly what you think they are. They're automatic teller machines, ATMs. That's exactly what they are. And he comes at the investment as if it's an investment in real estate, because this is one of a variety of different investment options this particular entity likes to share. Now, Lifestyles Unlimited, we focus on two forms of investments. They're both real estate-based. They're both residential-based, and we don't invest in anything else. Now, this individual is looking for only accredited investors. So if you don't know what an accredited investor is, then that's your first clue that you should not be investing in this offering. I'm just being very clear with you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be facetious. What I'm saying is, if you don't understand what an accredited investor is, you have no business investing in this type of investment opportunity. Now, this investment is for ATMs. Yeah, automatic teller machines. And essentially what they do is they go around the country and they find places where they have maybe existing ATMs, and they negotiate to take over that ATM location. I'm not quite sure how they do it. They don't explain it very well in the prospectus that they sent me, but they did say that they're looking to take over 4,100 and some odd different ATM locations across the United States. That's how they make their money. So essentially what you're doing is you're buying into a company that buys these ATMs, and then they negotiate to place these ATMs in place. And when they do that, whoever agrees to have the ATM come into their location signs a 7-year contract, and that locks them into a 7-year holding period. Now, they're offering a 26, I don't have the actual number right in front of me, but I think it worked out to be something like 26.7% preferred rate of return. So what that indicates is that's the amount of money they believe that they're going to be able to pay you. And if for some reason that anywhere along the way, they don't make enough money to pay you the 26 point whatever it is, they're going to turn around and they're going to pay you the difference. They will take it out of whatever their funds are, and they'll pay you the difference. So you get this constant rate of return. The problem with a preferred rate of return is that even though it sounds like you're getting something somebody else is not getting, you kind of are. You're getting just the cash flow. You're not getting anything else that comes out of this investment. And if the rates of return come in above 26 point whatever the number is, you don't get the difference. You don't get the additional amount. You only get up to that 26 point whatever percent. Now, one of the interesting things that they pointed out in the email that they sent me was that they were upping their preferred rate of return from 24.7%. See, I remember that number, up to this 26 point whatever number. And because they did something in the marketplace to allow them to feel like they could afford to do this, they're giving you a better preferred rate than what you would have earned had you been in this fund some other point in time. This is not the first time they've done this. They've been doing this sort of thing since 2012. This is just another iteration in their investing offerings. Now, would you invest in it? Would you invest in it? What do you know about the asset? Well, you know they buy ATMs, and you know they're planning on buying what, about 4,100 of them, and you know that they're going to place those in various locations across the United States. Okay, that's what we know so far. And to tell you the God's honest truth, I don't know a whole lot more about their investing strategy than that. Now, I've gone through their private placement memorandum. I have gone through their subscription agreements. I have read through probably about 60 pages of material to prepare for the show today. And here's what I know. You're going to buy into a fund. You got to stay in that fund for 7 years. There is no opportunity for that fund to close out earlier. In other words, there's no opportunity for that fund to make money earlier, make the big amount that they're trying to make. They need the entire 7 years to make whatever they're going to make, and you're going to be locked into that fund. If you invest in the fund, you have to be an accredited investor. If you don't know what an accredited investor is, you're not an accredited investor. It's that simple. You're not even a sophisticated investor. Oh, by the way, if you're a sophisticated investor, you can't get into this fund. You can't, because they're not making any offerings to sophisticated investors, only to accredited investors. Now, here's the thing that bothers me. Normally, when I invest in an asset and I look at my rate of return does not include the capital that is returned to me. That is called a return of capital. That has nothing to do with the investment capability of the asset. However, as I look through all of their financial documentation and I get into the appendices, what I see is that they're basing their rate of return on the fact that they're planning on paying you $25,704 per year. Yes. Now you're thinking, wow, how much do I have to put into the deal? And the short answer is $104,000. They're offering this investment in increments of $52,000. I don't know why 52, why not 50, but 52 is the increment that they chose, so that's what they're offering. So the prospectus offering that, as I read it, indicates that if I invest approximately $104,000, that would equate to the equivalent of me owning one machine. Yeah, I would own essentially one machine. I'm not saying that I would own one machine. I'm just saying that my money is enough money that they would allocate that money towards buying one machine. And that machine is worth $41,600. It is depreciable. It is considered an asset of the business. You can depreciate that. So there is some depreciation write-offs that you can take. However, this is the way the investment is sized up. They intend to pay you $25,704 for the first 4 years. And in doing so, they consider that your return on capital, but also your return on investment. It can't be both. It can't be both. Now, I know there are entities out there that would tell you, yes, it can be both, but I'm here to tell you they're wrong. Because if I give you capital, I give you my money. I am giving you my money. I'm expecting you to put my money to work, and I'm expecting you to return a return on investment to me, an absolute return on investment to me. Giving me my money back is a return of capital. It does not represent any gains that I've made in the asset yet. I don't get any gains until I get to years 5, 6, and 7. And ironically, the $79,000 that I would make in those years, although it sounds like, well, that's like a 75% return on investment, Al. I mean, you're getting what, $79,000, and you put $104,000 in? That's what it sounds like, right? But it's not absolutely accurate. It's not accurate. You're not getting a 75% return on investment because you're including multiple years in your formula. When you calculate your return on investment, you look at a one-year holding period primarily. If you go beyond a one-year holding period, you make adjustments for that, and then you do a adjusted rate of return. Okay, when we come back from the break, I'm going to get back into this deal, and I'm going to explain to you why you're not getting 75% return on investment. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
We went from 100% live to 100% virtual. And you know, the funny thing is that nobody wants to go back to work now that they work from home, right? So now my members are like, well, Dell, we want to keep those virtual things open because now I know all the people in Miami and I know all the people in Chicago. And I know all the people now know each other from all over the country because of these virtual events.
The free workshop, How to Retire in 5 Years or Less, is online. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. We've been talking about an offering that came into my inbox from a non-Lifestyles Unlimited entity, and essentially what they're offering me is that I could invest in ATM machines, and with that investment, I could get approximately a preferred rate of return of 26.7%, which is an increase from their normal rate of return of 24.7%. So a lot of you that are investors out there, when you start hearing rates of return 24% or 26%. Maybe your spidey sense starts tingling a little bit, or maybe your scam alert starts going off. But the reality of it is there are investment assets out there that can give you that type of return. They exist. I talk about them all the time with real estate, but in this particular investment, we're talking about ATMs. So what are ATMs? They're machines. They're machines that distribute money or collect money. Yeah, they're basically extensions of a bank. But primarily what these guys are using ATMs for is not for deposits, but for cash withdrawals. They're trying to put these things in places where people need access to cash. And I'm not saying it's a bad investment. I'm just telling you that make sure you understand what you're investing in before you pull the trigger. Now, keep in mind, you're going to be in this investment for 7 years. That means there's no, hey, we get to year three and all of a sudden we met our expectations. Let's get all the owners together and let's vote to sell or hold. There's none of that. You're in it for 7 years. I read the private placement memorandum. It clearly says you're going to be in this thing for 7 years. It also clearly indicates that you need to get into this investment no later than next month, okay? But they will not start implementing the plan for at least 6 months thereafter. And once you read how they pay you, you're not going to see your first check potentially until the first of next year. So you need to keep that in mind. During the first year where they absolutely have your money, they're not doing anything with it. They don't actually start the investment until they actually start implementing the fund. So the fact that they're holding your money for 6 months or longer, that doesn't play into it. But it does play into your timeline. Now your timeline is longer than 7 years because now you're adding six and a half, seven and a half, whatever the timeline is for the investment piece to occur, you're eating that. And there's no return on investment during that period. I just want you to know that. All right, now let me get back to this return on investment and how they're calculating it, because I don't like the way they're doing it. I don't. Essentially, I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. I mean, they're flat out saying, look, you're going to invest $104,000. We will pay you annually $25,704. That is the amount of money that is respective of the return on investment percentage that they promise you with that preferred rate. So you're going to get $25,704 coming in over the period of a 12-month period, and you're going to get that for 7 years straight. So the total amount of money that you're going to bring in is $179,928. Now, you're also going to get $41,600 in depreciation. So what they're going to do is they're, instead of depreciating these assets over 7 years, which the IRS normally says that they should do, they're going to go for something called bonus depreciation, which means they're going to take all the depreciation in year one, meaning your income, that $25,000 that you receive in year one, it's going to be protected from taxation in year one, but not because of the depreciation. It's not because of the depreciation. It's because it's a return of capital. Yeah, now it's if they're calculating it as a return on investment, they're wrong, because a return on investment is, in IRS terms, taxable. Yeah, return of capital is not a taxable event. Not a taxable event. So getting that bonus depreciation in year one only would benefit me if I have other investments where I could take advantage of that bonus depreciation, because I'm not going to be able to take advantage of that depreciation until year five. It's not going to be till year five that I'm actually starting to make the return on investment. And if you look at what we get in year five, year six, and year seven, it works out to be about $78,000, $79,000 worth of money. And that $79,000 is your profit. Okay. Now, that $79,000 comes in over a 3 year period of time. So the reality of it is it only works out to be about what, $26,000 per year? oh, now we're getting at that 26 point whatever rate of return. Are we not? A 26 point whatever rate of return. So now you understand how they calculated the 26 point whatever percent favorable return. You're not going to get that rate of return every year. You're only going to get it in years 5, 6, and 7. But you're going to get it in years 5, 6, and 7 because in years 1 through 4, you're only getting a return of capital. Let's be very clear about that. So in Al's opinion, I think it's a little misleading to say that you're getting a 26.7% rate of return on a preferred rate, but it's legal for them to say that. It is legal for them to say that. Let me tell you what I think the rate of return really is. If I took the $79,000 that you earned and I divided it over a 7-year period of time, I come up with a really, really weird number that absolutely made no sense to me. But it doesn't equate to that 26% rate of return. It's like closer to a 10% rate of return. Does that make sense? Actually, when I do the math and I back out the depreciation and stuff like that, I'm actually coming in with like a 9.5% rate of return. I don't think you should be investing in ATMs. I don't think you should. I think that you can get the same type of cash on cash returns with real estate. As a matter of fact, Michael sent me a property to look at about on the exact same day that this other gentleman sent me his investment opportunity to look at. And Michael's property is offering me a 9% cash on cash return. When a syndicator will send out an offering and they have in money that they're going to invest in the deal, they normally highlight it in the key facts thing. Hey, I'm putting $500,000 of my own money into this deal. Okay, they'll do that thing. And then in the Schedule A part, since they're the only investor so far in this particular investment, they'll go ahead and list themselves as the primary investor, the amount of money they're putting in, and their percentage of ownership. Okay, and at that point, it'd be 100% ownership because there's no other investors because they haven't syndicated the deal yet. All right. You want to know how much the syndicator has in this particular deal? Now, remember, he's asking for minimum contributions of $52,000. He's recommending contributions of $104,000. As I dug into the meat and potatoes of the deal, it became very clear to me that $52,000 buys you about half of a machine. $104,000 buys you a whole machine, even though the whole machine doesn't cost $104,000. It only costs, what, $41,000 and change. There's still overhead costs. There's still business-related costs. And the syndicators still have to make money on the investment. If they don't make money, then why are they doing it, right? Okay, so you would think that they would throw a bunch of money into this thing because it pays, what, a 26.7% rate of return, a preferred rate of return. Okay, so I went to Schedule A. You want to know how much the syndicator is putting into this deal? Are you ready for it? $100. $100, that's what it said, $100. So he's got skin in the game, but he doesn't have nearly the skin in the game that I have in the game. And then I looked at, okay, well, what do the syndicators make? What is their management fee? And their management fee works out to be 1.03% of all of the contributions provided to the fund. So when I looked at those numbers, it worked out to be that the syndicators are going to make $50,000 per month. $50,000 per month is the amount of money they're going to make. Yeah, that's a lot of money. $50,000 per month times what? 12 months? That's $600,000. Now, I'm not saying that they don't deserve it, but I am saying, okay, you're going to take a lot of money out of this deal, but you're not putting any of your own money into the deal. So I have reservations about that. The other thing that bothers me is that there's no real estate. these things can't go up in value. As a matter of fact, when you read through the prospectus, you find that at the end of 7 years, they flat out and say that the machines themselves may be worth $500 a piece, but because they're obsolete, they're really nothing more than scrap. So they will be sold as scrap, and then whatever is made off of the sale, that they'll return that to you. They'll return that to you. Yeah. So it's an asset that's going to be completely consumed by this deal. There's no equity increases. There's no way to capture equity in the deal. And you've got to be in this deal for 7 years in order to get effectively a 25%, 26, what did he say? 26.7% preferred rate of return. And I did the math during the break, and it works out to be 10.4%. When you run that return over the entire 7 years of the deal, it works out to be a 10.4% return investment. Now, I got an opportunity from Michael. He sent me a property in the San Antonio market that pays a 9% cash on cash return. Now, you might be thinking, well, 9%, that's not as good as the 10.4, certainly not as good as the 25 or 26.7% that you keep bringing up, Al. Okay, but here's the point. You're making in a very similar amount of money on the cash on cash. And ironically, now get this, ironically, you're also making a lot of money on the equity side of the real estate. You're making a lot of money on the equity side, because here's what Michael's told me. He said the asset itself can be bought for $75,000. It's worth $165,000 on the marketplace, all fixed up. It's going to take about little over $21,000 to do the deal. That's less money than this other guy wants. It's about a fifth of that money? So about a fifth of the money to get into the deal, and this asset will return approximately a 9% cash-on-cash return. But here's the beautiful thing. By doing this particular deal, I'm going to get approximately a 125% return on the equity capture, because I'm going to capture about $26,800, almost $27,000 in equity in this property. Yeah, $27,000 in an unrealized capital gains. And when I put this property into service and I operate this property for, say, a year and a day, and let's say at the end of a year and a day, I decide to sell it, I have doubled my money. I've more than doubled my money in a year. Doubled my money in a year. Let me say that again. Doubled my money in a year. So at the end of a year, instead of having, what, $21,000 in change, I've got $42,000. $42,000. What am I going to do with the $42,000? Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy myself two more assets to replace this one that I just got rid of. Yeah. And you know what I'm attempting to do with those assets? You heard me correctly. Double my money again. Now, at the end of year three, I'd have what, about $84,000? Okay, not quite the $104,000 that I put into the deal, into this other guy's deal, right? But I'm already up to $84,000, and I only started with what, $21,000 and change? So what do I do at the end of that year? Well, I sell all four of those assets. And what do I buy? Eight to replace it. Now I've doubled my money again. Now I'm at what, $160,000? I'm in year four, at the end of year four, contemplating selling eight assets, right? Is your head spinning yet? It should be spinning. It should absolutely be spinning, because I just described to you how you get wealthy with real estate. And it didn't take me three segments to deconstruct another offering that isn't going to do for you what you think it's going to do, because you don't understand what the rates of return are telling you. In that other deal, you're going to get a preferred rate of return. But when you actually calculate what the rate of return is going to be, it's going to be 10.4%. And it's going to be over a 7 year period. That's it. End of story. This single family asset that I just told you that we could buy, I could own it for a year and sell it, and I could realize my capital gain and go out and buy two properties to replace it, or I could hold it. I could keep it. Maybe I like the 9% cash flow. Maybe the 9% cash flow helps keep me retired. I don't want it to go away. So I maintain it. So I hold the property for another year and another year and another year and another year. And let's say I get to the end of 5 years. I get to the end of 5 years and I decide, you know what? It's been 5 years. Everything that I fixed up in this property, it's probably coming to a state where maybe it's time for more repairs. So maybe this is the time for me to sell the property. So I do that. I go ahead and I sell the property and I sell it in year five. And you know what my adjusted capital gains is after sale? 199% return on investment. And that takes into account the five different ways we make money in real estate: the cash flow, the equity capture, the natural appreciation, the principal pay down, and the tax advantages, which do shelter the income that you make on this property. It prevents you from paying taxes against that income, which is really, really, really nice. And unlike that other property, that depreciation is going to come in every year. Every year it's going to come in. We're not going to take it all up front because we don't need to take it all up front. We're going to take it in the year that it needs to be taken. So ironically, you could buy one single family house and you could be so much further along than if you were to invest in an ATM machine. So what do you want to do? Do you want to invest in an ATM machine with a preferred rate of return? Or do you want to consider investing in a single family house, just one single family house on your own, and getting a rate of return that is almost 200% over a 5-year period of time, with the option to dispose of that asset anywhere along the way, provided it makes sense for your investing strategy? I'm telling you, this real estate thing, it's the way to go. If you want to find out how to do what I do, how to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited do, go to lifestylesunlimited.com and get signed up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.